Welcome to Geek Scholars Movie News, your source for film headlines, previews, and reviews on glorious podcast form and brought to you by LRM Online. I'm Fox, and with me virtually, we have Chris.
Hey there.
And Jill.
Hello, everyone.
In this week's episode, number 377, we have...
lots of DC trailers.
And our picks for casting Spider-Man characters.
So let's once again play Script Doctor. In this segment, we separate the boys from the men, but that doesn't matter because Jill will still win again. Chris, let's start with the main event. Audiences got their first look at The Batman, and the trailer is what?
The thing that looked at to me is Batman is a detective.
Sure.
For, like, maybe the first time in his cinematic portrayal.
The trailer
I mean,
is
Batman
detecting.
Has long been
yes.
Trailer detected. Yeah, I mean, Batman is known in the comics, I mean, going way back to forever, as the world's greatest detective. But that is not an aspect of him that we've seen much of at all in any of the many, many, many different cinematic portrayals of Batman. But we do actually get a little bit of that here. It's clear that he's sort of hunting down clues and solving riddles and working on a mystery, perhaps in tandem with the police, which is a little bit different than how we saw him in the Christopher Nolan universe. This is being touted as sort of Batman Year 2, so it's not an origin story, thank goodness, we've had plenty of those, and it's not sort of the older, grizzled, more seasoned Batman with all of his gadgets and his whole rogues gallery intact. It's something a little bit in the middle here, so I think it's kind of fun to see he's starting to work with the police, he's not just seen as an evil vigilante by the cops, but he's also starting to attract some attention, and some rogues are looking his way.
I agree with that, Chris. And I will say one of my favorite jokes is the fact that DC Comics is redundant because the DC stands for Detective Comics.
That
was how they started out. So it's really Detective Comics. Comics. But I couldn't agree with you more, Chris. My word was enigmatic, maybe calling back to the Riddler in Batman Forever when he was Enigma. But
Edward Enigma.
What I loved about this, Chris, is that there is a lot going on here that I don't understand, but I instantly wanted more of. I'm already craving to understand who this Riddler is, what their intentions are. I want to understand what is the driving force behind this Batman, because I feel like they're going to get into that. Like, how does he motivate himself? How does he get out there? Why does he get out there? And what is his relationship with the Gotham Police Department? Because I think that's also going to be an integral part of this. And while elements of that have been covered previously, I do see a very unique spin on this relationship and this character, which does surprise me at this point, given how many iterations we've had of Bruce Wayne putting on the cape and cowl. So I love that I got just enough where I was like, this looks fun. I want to learn more. I don't even understand what's happening here, but I can't wait to see the result. I'm not the one who should be credited for this, but it seems like the pitch was, hey, what if we made Seven with Batman? That's basically what
Seven was exactly what I was thinking.
That's what I see here. So I love that take on it. Jill, what did you think? The trailer is what?
The trailer is complex.
I
for all the reasons that you all said, you know, Batman is more morally ambiguous in this trailer than we typically see him. And I don't know. I often find with Batman material that especially the movies, that Batman is the least interesting part of the movie. The villains often outshadow Batman himself. And especially as we've seen sort of iteration after iteration of this character, it's interesting to see it done in a slightly different way. It feels a little more three-dimensional. Not that I haven't liked a lot of the portrayals of Batman in the movies before, but I often find that they're overshadowed by the other characters on the screen.
I want to say, Jill, I don't know if you meant to do this the first time, but I did love it because you used the word outshadowed, which is a combination of outshine and overshadowed. But I actually think it works perfectly for Batman because he does literally outshadow everybody else because he is the Dark Knight. So I don't know if it's intentional or not, but I'm going to believe
it. Let's call
it
intentional.
And it was awesome. So well done. That's a great way to describe the character. Jill, we're going to move on here. We didn't get a proper trailer of sorts for James Gunn's The Suicide Squad. They really love their thes, don't they? But we did get some introductions to the characters and story through a behind-the-scenes featurette that made you feel what?
I'm excited about this.
Okay.
And I, you know, like many people didn't love the last one. I thought that this featurette took on this material in a very clever way, because I finished and I thought, I really don't know that much more about this than I did before. But I really feel like I have a much better sense for the tone of the movie, which is a great way to get people excited. You get a sense for the level of action and the level of thought that went into portraying the characters without spoiling really any plot points. And you could see the level of production too, which just seems epic. So I think all those things are great in terms of getting people really enthusiastic about this. But also, I still really have no idea what this is about. I was excited to see Polka Dot Man too.
You definitely called that. Jill, I think the word epic there is absolutely perfect. I've been told from people who have been close to production that this is going to be almost like his grand 70s war film. And I definitely get that. And I see him doing things with the characters where he's taking a stance saying, okay, I know we've seen Harley Quinn several times over now. We have the great Margot Robbie. What can we do with her? What can we do with her that would be a little bit different, a little deeper? Use the word complex to describe the Batman. I actually think we're going to get that here. We know that actors and actresses love working with Gunn because he pushes their limits in terms of developing their stories, developing their narrative arcs. And I think we're going to get that. And this is the last place I would have expected that. I didn't expect to go deep on King Shark or Peacemaker. We're probably going to have that happen here, which is lovely. So the trailer, or the, I shouldn't say that, the featurette made me feel impatient. I want to see this tomorrow. This seems like a really unique film within the DC universe that I'm very excited about. So Chris, what about you?
Delighted was my word, there, which is a little bit surprising. I really like this mix of villains that they're using. I mean, they're leaning a little bit sillier on some of them. Some of them are like delightful, silly, fun, fan favorite D-list villains like Polka Dot Man, like King Shark that you mentioned. There are some deep cuts with really limited comic book background to build on, like Javelin and Weasel. These are basically just entirely one-dimensional villains that have only appeared a couple of times in comics. There are some oddly specific picks that seem sort of poised to get much more interesting treatments than they have in the past, like Ratcatcher 2 and Peacemaker, I think, is pretty interesting as well. And there are a couple of seemingly totally new inventions, like Sulsoria and TDK. I think TDK is going in a slightly different direction than they're advertising, but we'll see.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, I'm with you on that, Chris. I think most
no spoilers
figured out what that is going to be, but that's really freaking funny.
Exactly. But I think surprising no one, the thing that I'm most excited about is one Idris Elba! Idris Elba!
Who looks great. He looks,
he looks
having
great
a blast
as Bloodsport in this. He's probably in prison for having shot Superman with a kryptonite bullet. That's at least sort of where he started in his comic book portrayal.
Good pull, good pull.
Yeah, man. I think it is looking pretty fun. And I love that James Gunn is doing this, man. What he did for Guardians of the Galaxy was so great, taking those largely completely unknown characters, smashing them together, making them something super fun in this otherwise a little bit more serious Marvel Cinematic Universe. And I can't wait to see what he does with these DC characters. I think it's going to be an absolute blast. And I'm surprised to say that because I didn't love the first one. It was fine.
Yeah, agreed. I'm not going to ask this as a trivia question, but fans, I have a question for all of you. Who do you think Taika Waititi is playing? They did not announce who he was going to be. And he's done vocals, he's done motion capture, he's done full-on characters. So just putting it out there that that's an interesting person that we don't know exactly who he's going to play, and it was not revealed as part of this featurette.
Got to be Superman.
We're going to move on while everyone thinks about that. Chris, we're going to move on because we got a little bit more of Wonder Woman 84. The big reveal was showing off Kristen Wiig's character, villain of Cheetah, which you would call what?
My response to this was, laugh it up, fuzzball.
Oh boy.
It looks like we're going to see Kristen Wiig going through some stuff over the course of this movie. And there seems to actually be in this trailer, it's framed with a little bit of this tantalizing wish fulfillment theme, right? It seems like people are getting what they want most in the world. And for at least her character, Wig's character, Barbara Minerva, she wants to kind of stop being a doormat and start being an apex predator. And she's getting her wish here. I think it actually looks really cool when she first is starting this transformation, presumably when she's in this sort of like 80s mixed animal prints thing and sort of leaning into her newfound powers. I think she looks awesome. Does seem like we're probably getting a little bit from later in the movie in this trailer where she has gone full on furry cheetah. And I think that is maybe somewhat less successful. I hope that they use that judiciously in the movie. But I think it's interesting. Kristen Wiig is such an unusual pick for a comic book villain. And I'm really curious to see what she does with the role.
I am excited about Kristen Wiig, but my word, and I'm going to apologize in advance for this, it's a catastrophe. Yeah, thank you, Chris, for explaining the joke. But yeah, there is clearly at DC something seriously deficient in their visual effects department. I mean, I'm looking back over their previous villains, Doomsday, Ares, the entire mutated marine population of Aquaman, the seven deadly sins that everyone has now already forgotten about from Shazam. I don't understand how they can be a decade or more behind everyone else doing visual effects, making these CGI characters. Now, their costume and makeup department appears to be doing fantastic because no one recognized Colin Farrell as the Penguin in the Batman. We didn't even talk about that. So there's something wrong here because that cat thing made Cats the movie look brilliant. And that's not a good place to start. So I don't know about this. I agree with you. I think Wiig is a great choice, but man, that cheetah design, barf. Ugh, not good at all. Yeah. Sorry. All right, Jill, after that, what do you think? You would call the character Cheetah in this iteration what?
Well, I actually think the problem is that the CGI only looks a decade behind. I feel like her character is really incongruous with the rest of the film. So that's my word, incongruous. They lean so hard into this 80s vibe, and then they have like what looks like bad 2020 or good 2000 CGI that just doesn't fit that at all. You know, you have to find something that fits the vibe of the movie, and this is not it.
They should have put her in a suit. They should have put her in a cat suit and like done makeup and like make her actually physically wear a mask or something.
Yeah, I feel like there's a lot of. I watched it a couple times to try and figure out what really didn't look right about it. I think some of it is that it's like they didn't just full out turn her into a CGI cheetah. She still has the posturing, like the physical posturing of a human. The way she's standing looks like something that an actual person could get into. But she's like, her skin and everything has been changed into a cheetah. And so it's like she's the wrong shape or something in a couple of the frames.
Well, I'm sure it was done with motion capture. I'm sure they got...
No, that's Kristen. The problem, I think. I don't think
don't
this
think
was motion capture.
Oh, you think
no.
It's all CGI?
It's just plastered over the images because...
like
I read somewhere
something.
Today the director didn't want to, or I'm not sure if it was the director or the producer, so I won't be specific about that. But I think they didn't want people to feel limited by all the mocap balls and stuff. And so they are just like painting over the characters, and I
yeah, that's
think
a different
that
cast,
may,
and that's not.
I think that might be the problem because she's still sort of human shaped. Just she looks like a human that's painted like a cheetah, not like a human in a cheetah costume. I think that that's part of it. It doesn't fit with the rest of the style of the movie, and it doesn't fit with sort of the quality that you would expect for a movie to come out this time. The other thing that we haven't addressed is that this movie is supposed to be released in less than a month. So it's not
October,
like,
yeah.
You know,
no,
sometimes
no,
when we see the CGI and we're like, yeah, you know, they'll fix
it.
Oh,
they got time to fix
you
it.
Know,
yeah.
This,
Sonic
think
the
this
Hedgehog
is what it's
did a whole
look
rework.
Like when the movie comes out. Yeah. This is here, you know?
Well, so, it's funny, I mean, not to belabor it, but like I remember seeing Thanos for the first time. And we know infamously that Brolin did all of it. Like he wore the suits, he walked around with the actors. You know, they put literally a 12-inch ruler on top of his back so they could show the actors where his head would be. And that really worked, I think, when they actually made him, because you felt Brolin in the performance. When I see Cheetah running around, I'm with you, Jill. It looks just unnatural.
I think people have figured out how to act under the motion capture stuff. I don't think
the good ones. And I guess
I don't think
Kristen
that's
Wiig,
a problem. Kristen Wiig's a great actress. Yeah.
Yeah, but has she ever done this before? Probably not.
Yeah.
Maybe you should have gotten somebody who with that experience. But anyway, we should move on.
Yeah.
I don't want to belabor it. Hopefully the movie is great. I still can't wait to see it because Pine and Gal Gadot are going to be amazing. All right. Going to an entirely different studio now. Jill, Sony wants to keep pumping out Spider People movies. So we have a two-parter in terms of casting for you. First up, Olivia Wilde, who directed Booksmart, will be helming a film that most believe will be focusing on Spider-Woman, who we all love. If you were casting Jessica Drew, you'd call whom?
You know who I think would be really fun is Olivia Munn. If you didn't see Newsroom, she was sort of like the financial person in that.
Mm-hmm.
She was in one of the recent X-Men movies, but
yeah,
I don't think
Psylocke.
Yeah, but her character, I don't know, got the justice that it deserved.
She was angry. Yeah, about
really likes comics and could totally get into this. And Jessica Drew is such an interesting character, and I mean, especially, you know, like the last 5 or 10 years of runs, you know, she is in her mid-30s and kind of just doing what she wants. She has a baby. There's this great B-list hero. I think he's called the Porcupine, who's like her nanny. I mean, there's so many fun things that are going on, and she just owns it in the comics. And I feel like Olivia Munn has 100% the chops to do something like that, and that would be really fun.
Yeah, I'm in agreement with you, Joe. I actually thought it would be fun to cast a woman who was a little bit older because we haven't seen that in the Marvel Cinematic Universe so far. But most of the women that have been cast when they were cast were in their 20s and are now in their mid-30s. So I actually thought this was an interesting opportunity to cast someone who's a little bit more seasoned, who's in their 40s, and give someone of that caliber a chance. So I was thinking of women who kick ass, who could fit that bill, who are a little bit older and unfortunately are maybe not given the action adventure opportunities that they once were, unless you're Charlize Theron, because she doesn't age and we don't know what she's drinking. But that's actually not my pick. I had two that I'll throw out there because I'd love to get some response. The first person who came to mind, honestly, was Malin Ackerman. And for those people who may not know that name, she played Silk Spectre 2 in Watchmen, the Zack Snyder movie. She's got this wonderful stature to her. She's spunky and ferocious in that role, but in almost everything she's done, and I think she would do a great job with this. She's also Swedish, so she's a big woman. Like, she's very imposing in nature, which I love. But the other person who came to mind who I think should return to the Marvel Universe, Jennifer Garner. I think she played Elektra once upon a time, but we know that she likes comic books. We know that she likes this world. And I would love to see someone like that in this role because I think she'd be really fun and almost wink, wink about her, you know, history within the Marvel Cinematic Universe adjacent, if you want to call it that. So those are my picks. Chris, what do you got?
I'm never going to get upset about Jennifer Garner being in something.
Yeah.
As a huge fan of Alias back in the day.
Right. I mean,
always welcome.
She tried her best with Elektra. She tried her best.
She did. And in the old the Daredevil movies back circa 2000, early 2003, 2000s, I guess.
2003, somewhere in that range. Yeah.
Thereabouts. Anyway. You know, my first thought in seeing this is Olivia Wilde, who's directing, she could absolutely play this role as well and do double duty. I think she'd be
fantastic.
That's a great
pick, Chris.
she could be really great. You know, it's a harder ask in sort of a big budget superhero movie because there's so much action and so much CGI. And I think that's just really hard to direct yourself doing for anybody, you know, much less somebody who doesn't have that much experience with, you know, big budget filmmaking. But she is very talented, and I think she would be great doing it. If not her, I think somebody like Jennifer Lawrence would be really great for this. I mean, she already played one of the X-Men, but I think she'd be fantastic. She's got that great sort of tough, playful, spunky combination that
yeah,
I think is really
like
great
that.
For Spider-Woman. An interesting way you could take this that I was thinking is that I don't know that they'll go this direction for this movie, but in the Ultimate Universe, Spider-Woman was created using Peter Parker's DNA. And so she is a woman with the memories of Peter Parker a man, and it creates this sort of gender identity tension within her. And it might be really interesting to cast someone, if you wanted to explore that, who is gender non-binary. And actually, a great performer out there who identifies as non-binary is Bridget Lundy Payne, who actually just popped up in Bill and Ted Face the Music as Ted's daughter.
Yeah.
And they're the star of Atypical, the TV series. So they're in their mid-20s, and I think they'd be great in the role.
Awesome. All right. Well, we're going to move on, but only slightly, because Chris, I have a similar question for you, but different Spider character. Sony also wants to put out a Kraven the Hunter film, I guess, to meet the criteria of doing as many Spider folk villains as they can, following in the footsteps of Venom and Morbius. And we've heard a few others that may be on the way. But Kraven the Hunter, for that role, you'd cast whom?
So Kraven the Hunter, for people who don't know, is sort of this supreme hunter figure. And in the comics, he's decked out in like his shirt is like a lion's head. He just kind of has wrapped around him. It's, you know, all these sort of pelts and things strapped to him.
You didn't mention his intense cleavage.
Incredible dude cleavage. And in fact, when I saw the dude cleavage and thought about that, like, who else could do that? But The Rock, Dwayne Johnson, I thought would be a really good pick. But then I realized, like, canonically, Kraven the Hunter is like Russian aristocracy by birth, and that's probably not quite the right role for the Rock, historically speaking. So I had to dig a little bit deeper on this. Kraven is somebody who is a hunter who always gets his prey, but he's somebody who doesn't, if he can avoid it, a hunt with, you know, guns and bows and arrows. He has this incredible overblown sense of fairness in his fight. So he wants to get up close and personal and do hand-to-hand combat with lions and bears and things like that. He has incredible respect for whatever it is that he's fighting, including Spider-Man, who he sees as this manifestation of a spider who would be his ultimate prey. And one of the people I thought about who is large and intimidating and has that kind of laser focus while still having a lot of natural charisma is Christopher Heavey, who is actually Tormund Giantsbane in Game of Thrones. I think he would be great. He does that super focus versus like losing it in bloodlust while still being like super fun and magnetic on screen.
I love that, Chris. I had a pick, and I'll tell you who it is, but then while you were talking, I'm going to call an audible. So my pick originally was Michael Shannon, because I want someone who's intimidating, who I believe just is relentless, fierce, intimidating in stature and size, and just basically a Terminator, you know, and I think Michael Shannon would fit that bill. But you started talking about someone who could play Russian and good at hand-to-hand combat. So I'm thinking, what if you went a little bit older and you had Kraven near the end of their career and they felt like they had accomplished everything, but there was one last score they had to settle, and that was this new pest, which is Spider-Man. Mm-hmm. Why don't you just call Dolph Lundgren?
Ooh,
a throwback to Rocky IV, where he played the Russian man with hand-to-hand combat. He's 6'5".
Yeah.
Wow.
And you could have like a grizzled own opponent, which, you know, he's experienced and things like that. And they kind of did this with the Vulture, so I think it plays well. But like the idea of like the kid who's got the new tricks versus the seasoned veteran, I think that would be really cool. And I think it would be a fun throwback to obviously Dolph's first big role that made him more of a household name within the U.S.
That would be a lot of fun, and there's some speculation this would be based, like, the biggest, best comic book that Kraven has been in was called Kraven's Last Hunt from 1987.
Oh, I knew that idea, but I didn't even think about the fact that that fits into my pitch. But
yeah, exactly.
Yes, that's my pitch.
Super
Kraven's
well.
Last Hunt, and it literally is his last hunt because he's about to retire. Yes,
that's exactly
thank you for
right.
furthering my cause.
That's awesome.
Jill, if you want to weigh in, I mean, I don't know.
I mean, what is there
point.
To say? I think I had very similar thoughts and just picked someone different, like someone who could pull off the skin tight skins and who was crazy charismatic. And for me, that was Henry Cavill. I feel like he's just someone who could like rock a wicked stash and just like charm the pants off of anyone.
As
you
long
know?
As you wanted to CGI it off it later, you're fine.
And so I think for very similar reasons, that was the name that came to mind for me.
Awesome. Well, I mean, as much as I'm not super excited for a Kraven the Last Hunter or Kraven the Hunter, you know, movie, I'll be very curious to see who they pick for this role, because it could be a really cool role to play. But it'll be interesting to see who they ultimately choose, because we got Tom Hardy as Venom, and I would have not called that. So we shall see. All right. Well, that is it for Script Doctor. And now it is time for trivia brought to us by Jill.
All right. Well, with the debut of the Wonder Woman the second trailer for this movie recently, I thought we'd talk more about Cheetah. Because she's a character that I don't know that everyone knows a ton about, and I think that'll make the movie more interesting. So,
and this trivia awful for us, the players, not the listeners. You're gonna really enjoy this.
People don't know a ton about her, including the people,
including the hosts of the show.
Keeping that in mind, most of it is true or false. So
I'm better at that.
I try to give you guys options. That's fine. All right. Not the first one. So Cheetah has been one of Wonder Woman's greatest nemesis over the years. Mm-hmm. She first debuted in the Wonder Woman comics in what year?
Okay. Well, let's think about when Wonder Woman actually debuted, which is somewhere in the 40s.
40s, yeah.
40s, 50s. So I'm going to say it was probably early on. I'm going to go as early as 1951.
Yeah, there were a lot of, I mean, think of like sort of like golden era comics.
The
like,
sad thing is it's right out of reach, but I'm literally reading a history of DC comics right now, a book called Slugfest, and it's optional to pick up because they don't endorse the show, but it is great.
I'm thinking like Marvel's different than DC, but like in the 60s, Marvel was just churning out these animal-based characters.
Which is when they were founded, though.
Yeah. I mean,
Spider-Man's got Rhino. Spider-Man's
exactly.
got Vulture,
Scorpion, all right, Vulture. All these. Yeah,
the kids love those animal villains.
Kids love animals.
Excelsior. Okay. Yeah. Sorry.
Oh, we miss you, Stan. I'm gonna say early 60s.
1943.
Wow. Yeah. Wow.
Now,
very early.
Just to be totally clear, there have been 4 cheetahs total. And so that's when the first Cheetah debuted. But but yeah, it was Wonder Woman Wonder Woman number 6. I mean, it was really...
Wow, that's early.
Yeah, it was really early in the run.
But you have to imagine, because she was just like a burglar, almost like Catwoman, like right at the beginning. I don't think she actually was a cheetah.
We're totally going to get into it. All right, true or false?
Okay, sorry.
Barbara Ann Minerva is a Washingtonian debutante with a huge fortune and a split personality.
False.
So Barbara Ann Minerva is the person whose Kristen Wiig is playing, if that wasn't totally clear.
Yeah. She doesn't seem to be that way in this movie, but I'm going to say yes in the comics.
Yeah, so that's actually a pitch perfect description of the first Cheetah, but not so much of the person who
Barbara.
Mm-hmm. So the first Cheetah was Priscilla Rich, and
she was rich.
She was
good writing.
She was very much
on the nose.
And she was the only Cheetah until the 80s, and then her niece took over for a little while, and then Barbara took over in the late 80s. Sometimes this is another true or false. Sometimes she wears a costume, and sometimes she's an actual Cheetah.
That's true.
Gotta be true.
Yeah, totally true. Newest iteration of Cheetah is really the first one that actually transforms into a Cheetah. All of the other ones, their powers, I mean, they have sort of plus or minus actual powers versus just like talents. And then, but they're all just wear Cheetah costumes. And so this is new to the newest iteration of the comic. And I think even initially, Barbara Ann did not turn into a Cheetah, that it was sort of an upgrade that her powers got. True or false? Barbara takes part in a blood ritual to achieve immortality, but instead finds herself cursed when she learns the ceremony was only intended for virgins.
Absolutely true.
Oh, yikes.
Not even pausing on that one.
Given the sexual politics around Wonder Woman in the 40s, I'm going to say that seems entirely plausible.
Yes, but this was 1987. This was her origin story.
This is the Barbara. This is the Barbara
origin story of the new Cheetah. Yeah. So,
because Kristen Wiig is getting it. We know that. Like, there's no question. It's just she's got them lined up around the street.
I had to read it twice. I was like,
non-binary.
I mean, really? Yes, they were still punishing virgins in the 80s. True or false? Argentine business tycoon Sebastian Ballesteros became the 4th Cheetah, as well as the only male Cheetah.
Can I ask a question of clarification?
Yeah.
Is this the character that Pedro Pascal is playing in the movie?
Ooh, interesting.
No, it's not.
Twist.
Oh, it's not. Okay.
No.
I still say true.
I'll say false for sport.
Yeah, no, it's totally true. It's oddly specific. There was a short-lived male cheetah who was an Argentinian business tycoon. It was in the early 2000s, and it super did not go over well in the comics.
Are you sure this is not the character Pedro Pascal is playing in the movie?
Yes. He's playing another fairly famous DC character whose name escapes me right now. Okay. But it's someone specific from the comics is my understanding. I wish I could pull his name right off the top of my head. But Cheetah is not the only villain, not sort of the only known villain. And while I think in the trailer it's not really that clear whether the person is sort of like generic businessman, you know, versus someone specific, I believe he is playing someone specific out of the comics.
Yeah, you're right. I just wasn't sure if it was him or not.
Yeah, okay. It is not. That's all I got.
All right, nice.
All right, wow. I learned a lot. That is it for this week's show. Listeners, you know we love hearing from you. If you have a question or comment, write to us at mail at geekscholars.com or find us on social media. We're all over the place. A special thanks to LRM Online, The Front Porch, Anna Vogelzang, and the 440 Alliance. As always, we encourage you to subscribe to the Geek Scholars Movie News Podcast through the LRM Online Podcast channel, which you can find on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts, including Stitcher. While you're there, don't forget to give us a review. Until next time, this is Fox.
And Jill.
And Chris saying, and your future you is a very contentious dickweed.
'Cause did you watch because we don't talk about video games that often on here, but did you watch the video games trailers for the DC games coming out?
No.
Gotham Knights and Suicide Squad. No, what are they calling it? Is it a Suicide Squad? It's a Suicide Squad game, but they don't call it that.
Okay.
Anyway, there's some good.
I saw that Gotham Knights is like Batman is dead, and it's all like the people who are taking on his legacy.
Right. You could play two at a time, sort of co-op as either Nightwing,
Red Hood, I think.
Yeah, Red Hood, Jason Todd, or Damian Robin, or I hope they don't call her Batgirl, but basically Batgirl.
Yeah.
But awesome. It's Barbara Gordon.
Oh, cool. Nice.
Yeah. And so, yeah. And then there's also like another Suicide Squad game where the Suicide Squad are trying to take down Superman who's been brainwashed.
Gotcha.
Which looks really
cool.
Fun. So, yeah.
That does sound like fun. Yeah. I need a good beat 'em up game.
Well, I think Gotham Knights is going to be in the vein of Left 4 Dead. Like you play co-op.
Oh, interesting.
And you merge your powers to try and move forward. So.
All right. Well, I'm all about that. That sounds like a blast. Yeah. You and I are topping that.
Oh, absolutely. That's all I got. I don't know if you have anything else. Colin Farrell. Did you recognize Colin Farrell?
No, I didn't.
How cool was that?
Incredibly cool. Yeah. I mean, I even saw who is playing and it didn't register in the moment. Like, that is a lot of, he looks great. He looks totally different, but he seems to be totally selling it in the little bit that we see.
And I know that some people are like, why wouldn't you just get someone, you know, who looked that shape and size? But I have to be honest with you. I get why you ask Colin Farrell and use his personality and his like kind of off kilter way about him. Like I think about the great, I mean, he was one of the few bright spots I thought from Fantastic Beasts, the first movie. Mm-hmm. And I thought about his performance there. I just recently rewatched him in Bruges. And I think about combining those two things, like the relentless hitman, but also kind of astute about people and like the way he was in Fantastic Beasts, where he's calculating, like, I get why this is one of those weird cases where I'm like, I'm okay if you want to put him in makeup to make him more penguin-y because you're still going to get a really good Colin Farrell performance, which I don't know that you'd get from somebody else.
You know he can capture that character. And that's something I think they're doing really well across the board with the casting in this. Jeffrey Wright as...
He looks great as Commissioner Gordon. Like, yes.
I mean, he seems like he should have been playing this role for the last decade.
I know, he's like, so perfect. Like, why didn't we just get him originally?
Honestly. I mean, all credit to Gary Oldman, but Jeffrey Wright,
who did a great job.
Yeah.
And I mean, I even like that we just got a hint of Andy Serkis's voice as Alfred, who I think is... kind of an odd, not the pick I would have made, but he sounded really regal, which I really appreciated. Yeah. And even, I think we haven't really talked about Robert Pattinson himself, but I think I'm kind of impressed. I thought he looked like a really cool Batman.
I dig it. I mean, yeah, as somebody who is still incredibly determined, but still a little bit green, who doesn't 100% sort of know exactly what he's doing. I think it's a really good, I think he's going to be excellent in it. I'm actually really looking forward to it. And that's not, I mean, Paul Dano in this as well is pretty interesting.
As the Riddler, his voice, like when he's doing the Riddler stuff, he's creepy. Like it was such a good pick. By the way, I'm going to say one more thing. We should let Jill talk because we've been like, but like, okay, finally black eye makeup on the face.
Yes, when he wears a
mask. How come every other Batman takes off the mask and they never have black eye makeup around their face?
Completely
yet they always are wearing it when they're as Batman.
Yeah, yeah.
Jill, I want to hear
your thoughts because we've been talking.
Well, I actually thought the styling generally was really interesting. You know, Robert Pattinson is someone who's been in a lot of really, really different movies. I mean, we saw him in The Lighthouse this past year. I don't know if anyone saw High Life this last year.
You told me that like really helped you. Yeah, totally get on board the Pattinson trade.
He plays this parent of a young child who's on a spaceship heading for the middle of nowhere. It's just kind of a crazy movie, and it's really intense kind of horror sci-fi. He finds these really interesting independent movies, and he really transforms himself into these characters. It's amazing. And so it's interesting to see how he's then brought that to the Batman character and really the difference between him as Bruce Wayne and him as the Bat, it's so striking. Not just his appearance, but he just seems like, he almost seems like a different person, which is fascinating. You know, I really get him as a pick for this.
Yeah, I do too. I think he's
DC is making surprisingly good decisions about making all these different movies not connected, not necessarily part of some overarching universe. It gives them a lot more creative freedom. It lets the directors do what they want to do, casting do what they want to do, and I think it's paying off so far.
Well, we did talk about it on the show, but I was floored when I heard that Ben Affleck was going to be in the Flash movie.
Yeah.
With Michael Keaton. Like it seems like somebody over there is finally saying, like, I don't know if it's Jim Lee, I don't know who it is, but somebody is finally like, get all the old farts out the room. We have a multiverse. Mm-hmm. Like, we can do something that nobody else can do. We have seven Batman. Like,
and they're all great.
Well, it's
they're all great and everyone loves them.
They constantly do that stuff in the comics, and that's what makes it so fun. And I feel like they're so hesitant, or I don't know, maybe there's other things that just sort of make it tough about doing that kind of stuff in the movies. But like, that's the kind of stuff that's really enjoyable.
Yeah, agreed.
I agree. This is the first time in a long time that I'm like really excited to see what they do next with DC movies. They're about to have a tidal wave of goodness, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just in time for the comic book side to go bankrupt.
Almighty. All right.
Yeah.
All right. That's a great place to end it. Finally, thanks for sticking around for the bonus session. If you're still here, have a great week. We'll talk to you soon.
Take care, everybody. Just a quick editor's note from Chris. After we recorded, it was announced that Wonder Woman 1984 will actually be coming out Christmas Day rather than in October. So maybe they'll have a little extra time to fix the CGI. We'll see. Take care.